So today's reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 to 23, and it's in page 1010 in the Church Bible.
The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law have come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, and saw some of his disciples eating food with their hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and other Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremony washing. Hold the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as washing up cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Elijah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of commands of God, holding on to human traditions." And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your faith and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death.' But you say that if anybody declares what they may have been used to help their father, mother is Korban, as devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything to their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that."
Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, idolatry, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good. Let's pray together. Say, Father, as we turn to these words in the Bible now, words spoken a long time ago, and yet by your Holy Spirit, they come with pertinence, relevance, and importance for us today. And so we just pray that you would be giving us open hearts to all that you're saying. And Holy Spirit, we do expect you to be teaching us as individuals in the particular circumstances of our lives. You know what's going on in a way that no one else does. And so we pray that you would be our teacher now. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So how can we be clean? That's the question that we're thinking about today. How can we be clean? Now, pretty much all of us value being clean. Or to put it another way, being presentable. So think about it. The more important the occasion, the more effort you put into being presentable for it, kind of on the outside, as it were. We all value that. But actually, all of us also value being clean or presentable at a deeper level. We want to be presentable as people at a deeper level. So think about when you go to a job interview. Okay, you dress up on the outside because actually you want the employer to think well of you as a person. Or think about that time when you had your first date with a girlfriend or with a person you're now married to. Again, you want to be presentable because you want, on the outside, because actually deep down you want to be a presentable person on the inside. Or, you know, perhaps even we do it when we turn up to church, don't we? We kind of maybe want people to think of us as presentable, clean. How can we be clean? And actually, the more important the person, the more important we tend to think it is to be presentable. So I don't know if you remember this glorious occasion all those years ago when we won the World Cup. And the story goes that Bobby Moore, after a full game of football with extra time, realises that he's going to have to shake the hands of the Queen, who's wearing these very nice white gloves. And so he's there kind of literally wiping off the mud on the way so that he can be, it's the Queen. So you want to be presentable for the Queen. And for Christians, when we begin to get an inkling that God is there and that God matters and that we're accountable to him, he created us, actually we want to be presentable to him. We want to be clean before him. And that really gets to the heart of this exchange between Jesus and the Pharisees, who were a kind of religious group in Jesus' day who took obedience to God very seriously and often came into conflict with Jesus. And you can see the conflict here. Chapter 7, verse 1. The Pharisees and some teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered round Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. But the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" So you see the issue here. The Pharisees think that being presentable before God is a really big deal. And that they've got all these traditions that they think play an important part in being presentable to God. And they see Jesus not doing that. And so they're thinking, don't you care? Don't you realize how holy God is? And don't you care about being clean before him? And that the Pharisees' concern, all these extra rules that they did have a basis in what they knew from the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, we meet a God who is totally pure. Okay, he's like a blazing sun. There is nothing, he's completely spotless. Okay, nothing mars him at all. Pure, unadulterated goodness, you might say. That's the God of the Old Testament. And therefore, to know him, to be in relationship with him, we too need to be pure as people. And in the Old Testament, there were lots of external reminders of that inner reality. Okay, so there were things like, for example, if you had a skin disease, that made you unclean. It was a visible pictorial reminder that God needs us to be pure to have a relationship with him. Okay, or if you came into contact with a dead body, then that would make you unclean. Or there are various foods that if you ate them, that would make you unclean as well. So these external visible reminders of this truth about God being pure and us needing to be pure to relate to him. Now, on top of those written things in the Old Testament, the kind of Israelites over hundreds of years had added a whole kind of series of oral spoken traditions that later were codified as the Mishnah, if you've heard of that. And when it talks about the tradition of the elders in this passage, that's exactly what it's talking about. So you've got kind of Old Testament, and then on top of that, all these extra laws and requirements to do with cleanliness. And we probably think, well, that's all a bit weird, to be honest. Feels like thousands of years ago. You know, thousands of miles away, a totally different culture. We don't really engage with these things in the same way. It feels a long way from our experience. But actually, This whole thing about being clean, it touches on something quite deep in all of us. Because actually, deep down, all of us are aware that we are not clean. Okay, at a deep level, we realize that we are not actually presentable. If people knew what we were really like, we sometimes think, and there's some truth in that, isn't there? We know that we're not clean, and that kind of plays itself out. So, I mean, just think of all the kind of examples in kind of contemporary culture. So do you remember that amazing scene in Macbeth, if you've watched that or read that? And Lady Macbeth is implicated in the murder of Duncan, and she has the dream. And do you remember, she's kind of going up and down the corridors, rubbing her hands, saying, "Out, damned spot." And there's a spot of blood she just can't remove. And she's got away with the crime, but she's not got away from the sense of uncleanness and guilt that it has left in her. Or Pilate in the Bible. Do you remember? At the trial of Jesus, he literally washes his hands as a way of saying, "I want to be clean, free of guilt from this whole situation." Or the book Atonement, if you've read that, by Ian McEwan. It's like a whole novel about guilt and how we can be somehow free from it. Or there are religious rituals. This is the biggest gathering of people in the world. It happens every year. It's called the Kumbh Mela. 120 million people gather to wash in the River Ganges. That, by the way, that's twice the population of the British Isles. It's a huge, vast number of people. Why do they wash? As a route to being made clean on the inside. And it's easy to think, oh, well, you know, that's kind of slightly strange religious ideas, but in our secular context, we've got our equivalents, haven't we? So we go to a psychologist and we talk about all of our kind of guilt complexes and troubles. And actually, it doesn't matter whether you're living in India and from a particular religious tradition or a secular Westerner, all of us realize deep down that we're not clean and we want to be. We want there to be something to happen to make us clean. And that's exactly what the Old Testament is getting at. That's what these Pharisees are concerned with. How can we deal with this fact that we have this guilt, this uncleanness that we can't get away from? Things that we have done or things that have been done to us that leave us feeling like we need to be cleansed. How can I be clean? How can I be clean? Well, the Pharisees have got it wrong. And Jesus wants to explain to them why they've got it wrong, because actually the answer to this question is so much better than they had realized. And he does that by asking two questions. Here's the first question, which is, what needs cleansing? Now, you'll have picked up from the passage that the focus for the Pharisees is entirely external. Okay, so washing of hands, external ceremonies of various kinds, religious practices that you have to observe. We would have all of our equivalent externals, going to church or reading your Bible or saying your prayers or activities that we do. External. And do you see what Jesus says? Verse 14. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it's what comes out of a person that defiles them." And then he explains to his disciples, verse 18, "Are you so dull? Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their hearts, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." And saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. So in the Old Testament, these kind of food laws and so on were only ever meant to be a picture showing us that we needed a deeper cleansing of some kind. They weren't meant to actually be the things that made us clean. And that's what Jesus is saying here. The external things don't actually change anything, because each of us has a deeper problem. And can you see that? Verse 20. What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it's from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside
and defile a person. So can you see, Jesus is saying, look, yes, you're right, Pharisees, we have an uncleanliness problem, but it's much deeper than you've realized. Okay, it's not just these external things, and therefore it doesn't have an external solution either. Okay, the real problem is deep, deep down, the very seat of your personality and who you are, what they call the heart. Okay, not the lump of flesh that puts blood around the body, but the thing that makes you, you, at a very deep level, this is where all that stuff, that uncleanness, comes from. You have a dysfunctional heart, says Jesus. He says it in love, but we do need to hear that, all of us. We have a dysfunctional heart that tends towards the things that Jesus lists here. Now, there's a problem. When, like the Pharisees, you focus on the external to the neglect of the internal, here's what it does. It makes you a hypocrite. And that's exactly what he tells them. Do you see verse 6? Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. A hypocrite, in the Greek word hypocrite, is literally play actor. Someone putting on a show. And can you see what they do? He says, these people honour me with their lips. That's the external. They're doing all the right things. But their hearts are far from me. Okay, so it's not just that they focused on the external and neglected the internal. Their focus on the external was the very thing that led to their neglect of what was going on inside. It led to a blindness. And Jesus gives this example of how they actually have led people to disobey one of the Ten Commandments, honouring your mother and father, because of a tradition that they had set up as more important. But Jesus' big point is this: the dirt goes much deeper than we might think. Of course, it's convenient to say the problem is over there. It's these external things, because it makes it something I can control. But Jesus just has the love to say that's not the case. It goes much deeper. And therefore, the cleansing that we need is not a kind of moral uplift. It's not a series of religious routines that will kind of sort us out and clean us up. A kind of set of religious New Year's resolutions that will just see us through. We need something much more radical, much more far-reaching. Okay, so what needs cleansing? Answer, the heart. The very thing that makes you, you at the deepest level. That's where the cleansing needs to happen, according to Jesus. Second question, who can do the cleansing? Here's the thing about the Pharisees. The religion of the Pharisees, where is all the focus on who has to do the cleansing? Did anyone pick that up? It's on us. It's all about what you have to do. It's all about purifying actions that you have to take, whether it's washing hands or moderating your diet or whatever else it might be. It's all about you doing the right things in order that you might be pure before a holy God. Okay, all man-made religion has the same message. Clean yourself. You've made a mess, that's okay. Clean yourself, and then maybe you'll be okay with a holy God. Clean yourself. Now listen, every kind of man-made religion has a slightly different way of saying how we should clean ourselves. It might be spiritual practices. It might be moral rules that we have to follow. It might be religious routines that we have to do. It could be any number of different things, but the message is the same. Clean yourself. But Jesus is wanting to say here that to understand even the Old Testament in that way is a total misunderstanding of what God actually intended there.
So the rituals in the Old Testament, the kind of cleansing rituals, were a visual aid of our need for cleansing to approach a holy God. They were never meant to be the solution that led to us being cleansed. So they're a visual aid saying, look, you have got a problem. You need to be cleansed in order to reach a holy God. And it's meant to make us think, goodness me, I mean, like washing my hands or eating certain kind of foods, I mean, that's not going to sort out the problem, is it? So I wonder how that's going to happen. It's meant to beg the question, not make us think, oh, great, well, look, there's the answer. Just do those things and God's going to be fine with me. And this is where we see just the absolute wonder and beauty of the gospel and what Jesus came to do. Because all man-made religion says, clean yourself. But Jesus comes and he says, I have come to make you clean. I'm going to do it for you. I know the depths of your heart. I know the things that you're wrestling with that no, you wouldn't even dare to even think about mentioning to the nearest and dearest. You would never even think about it because you're so ashamed. I know that, and I can make you clean. Completely clean. Just flick over with me. We're going to come back to Mark in a second, but have a look at John chapter 13. This is just before Jesus dies on the cross. This is page 1081. And Jesus says, John tells us, it was just before Passover. Jesus knew the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And then you remember what he does? He stoops down and he washes their dirty feet. And this leads to this great kind of conversation with Peter. Let me read from verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to them, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you will never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who've had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean. Now, isn't this the most wonderful thing? Okay, the Lord of the universe, Jesus, says, I have come to make you clean. Okay, and the foot washing is just a picture of the ultimate thing that he would do when he died on the cross. And when he dies on the cross, he takes all of our dirt, the depths of the dirt in each of our hearts, and he says, you know what? I'm going to pay for it all. And his cleansing at the cross is deep. Okay, it pays for our sin in full. No guilt remains. It's gone. It's deep. It's permanent. He paid for every sin, past, present, future. The ways you're going to mess up this week, he paid for those as well. And it's transformative. And it changes fundamentally how I think about myself. Those words of Jesus, you are clean. If you've come to the foot of the cross and trusted him, this is his word spoken over you today. You are clean. Now bear in mind, he said that to Peter, who the very next day would deny Jesus 3 times. You are clean, says Jesus to that man, because he knows it doesn't depend on what Peter's about to do, but on what he's about to do when he died at the cross. Isn't this the most fabulous thing? You can take your guilt and you can leave it at the cross and you can know you are totally clean in his presence. And not only so, but the Holy Spirit then actually changes us to make that an internal reality as well. So the desires of our hearts are not towards the things that Jesus mentions in Mark 7, but are transformed by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's a slow work, but the Holy Spirit is committed to it, and he will do that work in you as you come to Jesus. Here are some amazing words from Titus. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. So what needs cleansing? It's much deeper than we think. Who does the cleansing? It's not us, but it's him. And so this is Jesus' contrast between the religion of the Pharisees and the gospel. Okay, the religion of the Pharisees, man-made religion, minimizes our problem, tends to make it external, and it makes us the solution to the problem. The gospel reveals the true depths of the problem, but then takes us to Jesus, who deals with it in full, by grace, for us. And so, friends, as we think about responding to this, the first and important thing to say is you must come to Jesus. It's very easy to be a Christian Pharisee, to have been living under the misapprehension that being a Christian is all about your performance towards God, and it's not. It's about what he has done for you. You cannot be clean by anything that you do. Instead, we must simply come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I can't do it. I need you to do it for me. And there might be some here who have never done that. And I just encourage you today, say, Jesus, I need you to clean my heart through the cross today. And once we've done that, friends, can I encourage us to live out our freedom in Jesus? Because when we accept God's grace, it's so easy later in our Christian lives to be drawn back to the religion of the Pharisees. And so we set all these kind of smart goals for our Christian lives. You know, smart goals, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and then another thing. You know the idea. And we think of the Christian life as a series of objectives that I have, and things that I need to attend, and things that I need to volunteer for, or whatever it might be. And if our hearts are just beginning to go into that place, friends, don't allow them to. Go back to Jesus and remember that he's the only one who can cleanse us. The things that we do won't do that. And so live out the freedom that we have in Jesus. You are clean. Okay, it's good to have goals for growth, but remember, ultimately, we have a problem that only Jesus can fix. Well, it's a hard word for the Pharisees, but ultimately the reason Jesus says these things is because he loves us and because he's come with the ultimate fix, solution to the problem that we have deep in our heart. So friends, I don't know what sin we've been battling with at the moment. Let's remember where it comes from. Okay, let's not blame the external things. Let's take responsibility for the things going on in our own hearts. And then let's take it to Jesus, who says, I'm the one who can make you clean. Well, let me pray as we close, and then Julian and Sarah are going to come and continue a time of prayer for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came that we might be completely cleansed. And how we pray that we would live this week in the freedom of that declaration of Jesus over us. You are clean. Amen.